You're listening to LLP Media Radio, and I am here with my fellow anchors and our guest star, Rico. Everybody introduce yourselves.
Yo, it's your boy TBC.
It's May J.
It's Deano.
And your favorite future force of nature, Rico, is in the building. What's good?
That's what's up.
All right, happy I introduced.
That's some bullshit. You know what?
Loki, it sounded like she said OOP, not LLP.
I was like, enunciation? It's like, we got a new
one. Bro, you did a great job. Don't let them.
No. Don't let them fuck your head up. You fucked up. You was fucking up.
He's mad because she said that Deano and TBC would be like the uncles at the barbecue with their new podcast, The Men's Corner. They're going to have their sandals on. And they're fleecing their Bluetooth songs. That's why.
I just think it's really funny how I thought that we should do a men's podcast months ago. And I don't hear nothing. All of a sudden, I go to this new website. It's a man's corner. I'm like, who the heck is Deano? Wait a minute. That is not how you spell my name.
Hey, Loki, I never said I wasn't going to bring you on. I'm just messing with y'all.
Awesome.
No, I definitely wanna expand it to some extra co-hosts. It'll be fun.
The Men's Corner is TBC's podcast. So every anchor has their own specific podcast now. That's his shit. So I'm scared for my life and the things that I'm going to hear on said podcast. Because I know him.
I'm gonna do a lot of editing.
And I know you funny. So it's gonna be a lot of different conversations.
I just want to say it's gonna be a whole lot of fucking editing going on because I'm pretty sure we're gonna say a whole bunch of shit that might get us in trouble. So we'll make sure we edit all that out.
He gonna give me the real. It's like, all right, whatever you hear, take that out. Just take that out. I'm gonna do it myself. He's like, we got like 20 minutes of content now.
It's gonna be real difficult for me because I'm gonna be so scared because I'm gonna say something in one of the episodes that I'm gonna be like, I hope my wife don't hear this, and she's gonna be like, oh, I want to hear the podcast, and I'm gonna be like,
I'm gonna
don't tell yourself too early. The podcast ain't even dropped yet. You already telling on yourself.
Yeah, so it's gonna be there.
I'm giving her a heads up, man.
I ain't even gonna start. You're gonna hear a lot of shit. So, hey, how you doing?
Stop touching me.
That's gonna be fun.
So, let's actually jump into our topic for the day. The topic of the podcast is artists who go too far. And we're going to be discussing Orlando Brown.
Not Boom.
Exactly, Brown. Okay. TBC, why don't you give us some backup since you are the one who showed me the video?
I don't need no backup. Because, all right, so for real, it was a video going around where he is talking about how he was molested or raped by Michael Jackson. He also said that Michael Jackson is his real daddy, and his name is Blanket. I swear he said it was Blanket, Jared Blanket, I think it was Jared Blanket Jackson, whatever he said. And it's been a topical conversation for the last week.
Something that I want to add to that you missed is that he said Will Smith set it up.
I was about to say, you can't just walk over the Will Smith part. That shocked me more than anything.
I didn't have that part of the information. I watched the part that I watched didn't have a Will Smith.
Yeah, he said that Will Smith set it up.
He also said Nick Cannon set it up.
He said Nick Cannon gave him head.
That's what he said.
There's
a whole lot of shit going on.
Yes, Deano, your hand is raised.
I just like to point out the fact of the only thing that I find interesting about the whole Orlando thing is, what made you just want to come out with all of this out of the clear blue? You came out talking about how you with Miss That's So Raven, but you couldn't throw all of this out there. This all wasn't like relevant at the time.
Honestly, him la 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 line with That's So Raven.
I can't believe
in Michael Jackson, Nick Cannon shit.
Monroe?
I don't even think he
did. Dude, he got a whole tattoo of Raven Simone on his fucking neck. And then, like, the whole how did he just come up with this shit? His baby mama was like, you know, yes, okay, he was caught with meth before. Yes, he's had, like, issues. But there's a line between, like, mental health and addiction and just wanting fucking attention. And she was like, yeah, all he wants is attention.
That sounds like a fact.
Hold on, right?
Rico?
Of all the things that he has said, I ain't gonna front. I believe the whole him and Raven thing, because Disney stars are smashing each other left and right, and it just would make sense if they did, because it's a proximity type of thing. So if it was anything I was gonna believe, it was gonna be him and Raven. All of that other stuff, I'm like, all right, bro, you need rehab, because at this point, it's just too much.
What I don't understand is why he think he can say all this stuff and no backlash hit him. Like, he came out and said Nick Cannon sucked his dick and he liked it. And I'm just like,
pause.
we have a word for people who like men sucking their dick. Like, that's all. Like,
I'm gonna just say, Orlando, you be who you want to be, man. But you can't say you with Raven Simone and was proud of it, but then come on the other hand and say, but Nick Cannon did this and I like that too. Though that's a contradiction.
Maybe he's bi.
There's nothing wrong with being bisexual. You got a problem with bisexual people, Deano?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you
want to
start fighting.
I fully support the LGBT community. However, I do not support you making contradictory statements because you're confused about yourself. Don't bring all these other people involved and make it seem like Nick Cannon's a monster. He did this. Will Smith. Don't mess up our childhood with all our childhood stars and everything just because you want attention. It's not just affecting you. It's affecting other people.
That's real. Rico?
Technically, both of them statements could be true. He could have smashed Raven, and even though I don't think he did, Nick Cannon and him could have still had their little whatever. So they could still both be true. It ain't necessarily contradictory. These could be two true statements that happen on opposite sides of the spectrum. I don't believe the Nick Cannon story, but he ain't necessarily contradicting, but he's obviously, he needs help, obviously. That's the core thing, whether y'all want to say rehab or he needs somebody to just talk him off whatever ledge he's walked himself on. But that's my opinion on that.
Okay, Monroe, I saw your hand.
Yeah, so I kind of do feel like he's walking the line of more like, oh, all publicity is good publicity, which we talked about in a previous podcast. That shit is not true.
Yeah, bro.
You know, so, I don't know.
Well, that brings me to a thing, because I know I've been very vocal with Monroe, with some local artists that I've become in contact with, and how they use the whole I'm depressed and I have depression and anxiety as a way to get people to pay attention to their art. And I was going to ask you guys, how far do you think it's too far? Like, it's one thing to me to do it for awareness, but then when it becomes blatant that you're abusing this conversation to get listens, which is what I think Orlando Bloom is doing. I'm sorry, Brown. Why am I talking about Orlando Bloom?
Because him and Katy Perry are pregnant.
And you just out here just slandering his name. Leave that man alone.
It's because him and Katy Perry are pregnant. That's why.
Say that to me?
Wait.
Yeah, what? Dude, they're expecting a little girl.
This is why you got pop
culture. I didn't even know he was knocking Katy
Perry
down.
This is exactly why you got pop culture.
Because I ain't know better.
That's pop culture.
I mean, we talk about how sex sells a lot, but nobody talks about how depression and mental health sells. Mm-hmm. That sells a lot these days, because everybody in a society where everybody is seeming to have some type of mental illness or to be stressed out or depressed about something, everybody seems to can relate nowadays. So that's why it's selling so much.
That makes sense. Monroe?
I mean, just look at how many fucking documentaries and all this shit has sprung up in recent years as far as serial killers and, like, child killers and molesters and all this shit. Wait, what?
Carol fucking Baskin. I'm sorry.
Carol fucking Baskin. But you get what I'm saying? Like, And I told May, I was like, look, I know I'd be out here with the sad girl vibes and shit, but I'm not the type of person to be like, hey, look at this aspect of myself. Pay attention to me. No, depression, anxiety, all that shit is hard as fuck. And it is not. And people that like take it so casually when people write and then deem it as casual writing pisses me the fuck off, because I'm like, you have no idea how much work and time and energy it takes to actually put the shit that has happened to you on paper.
That's a trigger. Go ahead, Rico.
My biggest point of view with all mental health, depression, anxiety, all of that stuff, is it's gotten to a point now where I don't want to say I don't believe people, but I've gotten to the point where I don't allow that to be an excuse. Like, if I get into an argument with somebody, or like somebody, like say I'm like working with somebody on something and I need like them to interact with me and to like explain what's going on, and they want to use, it's harsh to say excuse, but the excuse, oh, I'm not feeling up to it, I'm experiencing anxiety, depression, whatever, and it always seems to come up at the worst possible times when I need you to like reciprocate, like, or to communicate with me and stuff like that. It's gonna get to a point where it's like, look, bro, you gotta have to fight through that, because it's not fair to other people who you may be hurting, or people you, or like relationships you might be abusing, and then just fall back on, oh, I'm depressed, or I'm dealing with anxiety, or something happened in my family history. It's like, it gets to a point where it's like, all right, everybody going through something. So you can't keep using that as the fallback plan. So like when you see celebrities going through stuff, celebrities doing, oh, well, you know, I have a history of depression in my family, you still making these conscious decisions to act like a jackass, to do this, to do that. Yes, is depression real? Obviously, nobody's denying that. But when you get to the point where that's becoming your fallback excuse, then it's like, nah, bro, this is when it becomes abusive. And that's why people who really are suffering with it, other people are like, whatever, you're just trying to be like so-and-so. That's my opinion on it.
I agree with that. I do believe it's become a lot. Like, there used to be a time where depression, anxiety was a place of where you would draw from in order to be, you know, it was like an escape to get away from. So art was like an escape to get away from your depression. Art was an escape to get away from your anxiety. But like when I started seeing people using it as an excuse for the horrible shit that they were doing, I shouldn't go to jail because I suffer with depression. So does 90% of the world. You know, like I do agree. I think it's become overrated. And Deano, I saw your face. What you got to say?
It's a combination of you and Rico's points that I think is very good, because the point where I feel like it goes too far is the point that it's at right now. Just for the simple fact, when it first, mental health first became a topic of discussion, it was something that we overlooked for so long. And everyone's like, oh, okay, now it's something for us to pay attention to. You know, let's bring awareness to it. Let's accept that it's real and it's a problem in our world right now. But then you had people who took it and they heard, so this is what everybody's looking at right now. Let me try to jump into this light where everybody's eyes are turning towards. And a lot of people are using that as, like you said, their excuse for things. If you want attention, you got to think about what is everybody paying attention to. You got to jump into that category now. And I feel like a lot of people are abusing the fact that everyone is concerned with mental health right now. And that's the point. I think a lot of people are taking it way too far.
They're turning it into a fad. You know, they're turning it into the next it thing of how to gain attention to see what the fuck is on. And like I said, like, I struggle with it. I know what it's like to fucking be on my way to work and start having a fucking panic attack on the middle of the fucking bus because I'm freaking the fuck out at the amount of people that are in there. And
especially now.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, I gotta fucking push through that shit and haul my ass off to work and be at work and focus. And by the time I get home, it's like, I'm tired. I'm fucking strained. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh my god, guys, guess what happened to me today? I had a panic attack on my way to work. Oh my god. I'm not gonna fucking do that shit. It's because it's something that it's like, not to say like it's so, well, yeah, it is. It's so fucking personal. It's so like, it's on another type of spectrum of struggle that you deal with.
It needs to be said that there's a big difference between bringing awareness to it and then utilizing it for personal gain. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that everyone who talks about their depression or utilizes their platform as a way to talk, like to express what they're feeling, is a way to get attention. I think when you take it too far, like for Orlando Brown, he was in Walmart shopping when he made the video talking about Nick Cannon sucking his dick. Mm-hmm. Really?
I wasn't gonna let that go.
I tried to clean it up. I was like, his dick.
I'm sorry, but I wanted to get Monroe too when she was like, I was on my work.
Leave me alone.
I have a stickler for proper speech, even though I'm not always proper, but I gotta call it out when I hear it. Go ahead.
I gotta bring that negativity to Walmart. That's what I want to know, bro.
Everybody doing something Walmart. Walmart is
serious question though. TBC, what were you playing with earlier? You were like going like this, and you looked like you were turning
off. First of all, don't do this.
Okay, listen. She trying to make TBC out of some type of freak. He is using one of them hand gripper things.
They can't see us, so they didn't know what I did.
There's a hand stripping. Jesus, I almost sucked my baby out.
Major concussion. I'm sorry.
Well, you're fine, Rico. Just so that you know, I was on the phone with Deanna one morning, and I don't know what I said to him, but he threw this bag at me that one of our neighbors gave us wine in, and all Deanna heard was clunk, and I'm just like,
funniest shit ever.
Ow! I was like, damn, what he hit you with? I was like, a bag.
The bag was empty. Let's just point that out because I don't need no police at my door. The bag was empty. It was just a paper bag.
That was real thick.
And was heavy as shit.
But back to what we were talking about before we was interrupted by the grammar police and the speech police. I don't really believe that. I think that Orlando Brown has some drug issues. I 100% believe that. But
I think he got more than drug issues.
I think he's utilizing his issues as a way to get some attention, because for a long time, no one heard from him. He was very quiet. And then he gets very quiet. And then all of a sudden, he pops up with this new accusation that's so far-fetched. Like, when you watch the video of him accusing Michael Jackson of raping him, he was talking as if Michael Jackson was still alive.
Yeah, that is true. He didn't talk in the past tense. He talked in the present tense. He said, you know you did it. As if he was there.
I mean, I told y'all, that man got caught with meth. So, what does that tell you?
But doesn't meth just...
Yeah, he does meth.
It does a lot of different things to the body.
Well, we learned that from the Tiger King. He lost all his teeth. Did everybody...
He also lost to Karen Baskin.
Okay, anyway. Did anybody else watch the Tiger King besides the people who... You didn't watch it yet, Rick? Watch it.
I didn't watch it. To be honest, I didn't watch it either. The only reason I know any of this is because she was sitting next to me watching it on TV while I was playing the game.
You sitting there lying, TBC. You was obviously watching it, trying to do a sneak eye.
All I know is Karen Baskin.
You went cross-eyed trying to watch it and play the game at the same time. You stop lying.
Thank you. You already know. He was sitting there like, what he said?
Like, weird shit happening in that show. I had to stop every now and again.
Who was that?
Hola, mama. Hey. That's my mama. Háblale, si te escucho así. Hola.
Let me turn off the camera.
All I know is I'm not watching Tiger King. I don't want
to
watch it.
You have got to watch Tiger King. It's really good.
That shit crazy.
So back to the conversation in hand. I want to know what you guys feel about artists. Who, I want to know what. I'm so confused. First of all, Monroe, you need to stop moving because you're fucking my vision up.
I'm low-key getting dizzy. Like, sit down.
You are fucking me up.
So that's how everybody felt.
Sorry,
that's how
y'all.
Everybody felt when I kept walking around. Okay.
I got vertigo. Yes. Like, all of a sudden, I'm on the phone. I'm like, who is this? Wait a minute. God.
Like, my head. Thank you. Sit your pretty ass down.
I sat down. Thank you.
Thank you. what do you guys, can each of you just give me a small, like, comment on artists and them going too far? Hit me with it. What do you think?
Right now, Bad Barbie.
That bitch.
Bad Barbie went entirely too
bad. Oh, my God. She out here saying, I'm not blackfishing because Lil' Kim is out here trying to be white. Bitch, get the fuck out of here.
You're missing a whole comment that she said.
Yeah, the comment was, okay, so she went and got a tan, and there's a picture, and the people can look this up. There's a picture where she is super tan, so you thought she was a black girl.
I never thought she was.
She was like...
I didn't know, I didn't see her name, so all I saw was the picture. I'm like, all right, who is this? They're like, oh, that's Bad Bobby. I'm like, who?
I was saying the same thing. I was like, who the fuck is this lady? Why is she important? But she like two shades lighter than I am right now. And she makes a statement when people call out about it. She says, I'm not blackfishing. It's kind of like when Tarzan was raised in the jungle with the gorillas and monkeys.
Well, he should wait. Tarzan grew up around gorillas, so that's how he understood how to act, because he was always around gorillas.
So many
words. I'm like, bitch, you trying to say we're gorillas? That's basically what you're saying.
And that just sparked the whole thing.
Then she said, Lil' Kim basically went and became white. We're not upset about it.
First of all, don't speak for the rest of the congregation. Some of us were upset about it.
Black people was upset as fuck when they saw that shit. They was like, what the fuck is going on?
That ain't Lil' Kim. Like, what? How you? Okay, one, don't speak for us. There is no emperor of black people to make these type of accusations. But
he's an emperor.
Yeah, you know, everybody always thinks of somebody.
That raises a good question. If there was going to be an emperor of black people, who would y'all want to be the emperor? What black celeb, dead or alive, would y'all want to be the emperor of black people?
Morgan Freeman.
Yep. It was either going to be him or it was going to be, who played Darth Vader? James Earl Jones.
I was going to say Bernie Mac.
We do that. Bernie Mac.
Oh, God. That's a dope one.
That'd be definitely a good one. Messing him up.
But also, Morgan Freeman can talk like he could talk his way out of hell if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. I think that man makes anything.
I mean, Jesus. He did play God.
He did.
Several times.
He was okay with it.
What would you say about Samuel Jackson?
He could be the vice president.
Vice president to an emperor?
Yeah, he has to. Because all he reminds me of is how we accepted like everything Barack said sounded good. But Joe Biden was the one like making the dickhead comments in the back when they was announcing like Trump won. You see Joe Biden like trying to bless us all in that thing in the background. Mm-hmm. Only the vice president can get away with that. You got
Samuel L. Jackson would be like head of security if I was he would be the head of security for me to get in the palace. Oh, imagine trying to get past Samuel L. Jackson to get in the palace.
Ain't no motherfuckers getting in here. Everybody's a motherfucker.
Everybody's y'all hit
C. Morgan? I can see that. Who else we got?
I don't know. Matt Williams will have to be in there somewhere. Like, he will have to be the head of politics.
He's court jester.
Eddie Murphy is court jester. The head court jester.
I was about to say Dave Chappelle got a hat out.
Dave Chappelle. I get Dave Chappelle.
I like how we're just really building the black royal
conversation
court.
And Maroa should sit here nodding her head. She really
like, I got one for her next.
I know what you're talking about as far as that.
What would J-Lo be to y'all, Monroe?
No, I'm sorry.
Wait. Monroe, what? I don't even know how to properly ask this. You Mexican, Puerto Rican...
Dominican
nobody knows.
White woman.
She's fuck you, TBC. No, I'm not. Oh my God.
According to Deano this morning, she's French vanilla.
That is a fact.
I'm gonna go edit my Insta bio now, and I'm gonna be like French vanilla.
You learn a lot about a person.
And for the rest of our listeners, and let them know what's your ethnic background, please.
I am Mexican.
Okay, cool.
Yo soy Mexicana.
Vanilla.
J-Lo is Puerto Rican, ain't she?
Yes.
That's a good question.
What? That's an inaccurate question, then, Deanna.
Okay, what would
Joy Lopez?
No. Selena. What would Selena be?
That is a queen. Hold on. That is a whole fucking queen.
Give me a second.
Don't ever say that about Selena.
Hey, just so everybody knows on the pod, they out here researching Mexican celebrities.
How many Mexican celebrities do Americans really know? When you think
None.
About it.
Is that why you
how many Mexican celebrities, not Spanish speaking?
George Lopez.
Yeah, who would George Lopez be in your Emperor Kingdom thingy?
In the Emperor Kingdom thingy?
Mm-hmm.
He's a court jester.
That's fucked up.
Do Mexicans mess with George Lopez like that, or did he become too, like...
Fluffy could be, you know, one of the kings. Gabriel Iglesias. Yeah.
Is it Gabriel or Gabriel?
Depends on the day. Depends on what voice he's using at the time.
Yep.
Why you swallow
something? May you look appalled as fuck right now. What's happening?
Fluffy over George Lopez?
I don't know, Fluffy funny as
hell. Look, Fluffy is funny as hell, and George Lopez be ripping off Chris Rock, so.
They're friends.
Chris Rock not that funny to me.
He really not.
George Lopez show.
Chris Rock is really smart, but like, I never really just sat and cracked up at his jokes. Like. I liked his, like, one-off jokes on Everybody Hates Chris. I've sat and tried to watch, I think, like, three of his specials. It didn't really resonate for me. And I like smart comedy. Like, Dave Chappelle is one of my favorites. But I could never really, like, get with Chris Rock. I don't know if it was his delivery or what. Like, he was spitting the truth, but I was like, oh, yeah, you got a good point. It was never just, like, I can't feel my stomach. You're making me laugh too hard type of thing.
That's how I feel about certain people. Like,
so
don't be scared, TBC.
Wait, Monroe,
up next. Let the girl talk now.
When I hear Dave Chappelle, I think two things. Give me a crack sandwich. And when he was talking about not wearing a dress, that is what I think about.
Said peanut butter and crack sandwich.
I
tried to be there for you, right? I was on your side. You had no business.
You shut all of us up to let her say that.
Wait. Okay, Monroe, I'm going to defend you on this one. Let's think about everything we heard Dave Chappelle say. How many things could she really repeat right now?
She could have said, I'm rich, bitch. She could have said it.
But I'm not.
The one that said that, though.
I know, but he put it on the map. You know how many people said it after it was put into his show? Nobody knew that saying until it was put into his show.
She couldn't really say nothing else because Dave Chappelle says nigga at every fucking word, every other word. You right. Go ahead, Rico.
Okay, so this is kind of on the same topic, but going back to your question about what is too far. I've noticed different platforms of either information or entertainment seem to have different levels of where they're allowed to go. So, like, comedians can go as far as joking about 9/11 and people can just be like, oh, that's comedy. But when somebody like an Eminem first comes out, oh, he's too dark, he's too graphic, he's too this, he's too that. Or if, like, a poet comes out talking about, like, it's, like, different. Why do y'all think, like, entertainment-wise, it's different levels of what you're allowed to say and get away with?
Don't disappoint me.
I'm not. Can you shut the
mouth? You're already on strike.
Hold on. No. So, and this is to a conversation that May and I were having. It is all based upon the character that they build. So whether we like it or not, majority of persons in the industry portray a character. Like, you're never going to see 100% of who they are as individuals, nor their thoughts or opinions always. You get what I'm saying? Because they are playing a persona to an extent.
My question wasn't for the person. It's the industry itself. Like, the comedy industry is allowed to go to a certain level that music isn't supposed to be able to go to, or that movies shouldn't really touch. Why is it that different mediums of entertainment, not necessarily people, because it's always going to be extremists in each entertainment industry. So, like, Eminem is an extremist in rap. You can say, I can't really think of some, Quentin Tarantino is an extremist when it comes to movies, the movies he produces and stuff like that. And, you know, I guess some white comedian is probably an extremist when it comes to comedy. So it's Ralphie like, May. Who?
Ralphie May.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't really listen to too many white comedians besides Bill Burr. And it's just like, I was asking more so, why does different mediums of entertainment, why do y'all think they're allowed different levels of, okay, this is too far. Oh, well, then you should just accept this. This is just comedy type of thing. If that question makes more sense. Maybe I wasn't clear enough.
No, I got a great example for that. So that's a good point, because let's say in regular music, certain things nobody can say and it won't be allowed to say. Now, in battle rap, they say a lot of things that are like outlandish, especially with like current events.
Mm-hmm.
They use a lot of different references. So I've heard battle rappers have like a line when Juice WRLD passed. Like a couple of them had a line about that. When the situation happened with Kanika Jenkins, a couple battle rappers had lines about that. But I think it portrays more to A, the delivery, and like what your intent is when you're saying it. So I guess it goes back to the whether it's bringing the awareness or getting it for the attention. And I think that's why different outlets have like different things that they allow because of their fan base and what they're used to hearing and seeing. And if they're used to like, oh, we hear outrageous things here all the time, a lot is going to be more accepted opposed to other outlets where it's made to be cleaner. You know, there's not a dark closet you're supposed to go in.
May.
Exactly what I was about to say. It's like with music, people listen to music and they have this pre-notion that music's going to make me feel good. It's going to either talk about my sad emotions and I'll have someone to kind of like relate to, or it's going to bring me out of this emotion. It's going to bring me out of this vibe. Or movies are going to give me this adventure that I've never had before. But at the end of it, it's going to have a good turn and a good story. They're not used to that when it comes to the grudgy, like the rigid with the music. So when Eminem comes out and he's just all like, yeah, I want to kill my
fucking wife.
I want to kill my wife. I'm going to talk about 10 different ways I'm going to kill that bitch. Like, everybody's like, no, I don't feel good. This is bad. This is nasty. I can't listen to this.
Well, rappers wasn't talking about that at the time. So rappers exactly. weren't talking about domestic violence in a sense.
Exactly.
It was bad. It was a major thing for black people to have domestic violence in the household. So you wasn't hearing that. A white rapper comes along, and which from a trailer park, which is kind of known in that aspect for having domestic violence, that's what you got. I guess, yeah, like what Deano said, it's really just your following when it comes down to it. Because you have comedians who have a fan base that they can't say certain things. You know what I mean? So you can't say it's all just the comedic genre that can say whatever they want to say, because you really can't. Look at the situation with Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld made a joke about niggas.
That wasn't Jerry Seinfeld.
The guy from the Seinfeld show. I had it mixed up. He said he made a joke about niggas, which took it a whole different wrong way. If that was the case, then he could say everything he wanted to say about niggas and it'd be totally fine. You know what I mean? I guess it just depends on who are their fans.
Well, this
and
is
what
why
they're
I say,
willing to take from that person.
Before you kind of just cut me off. Ralphie May was a comedian who made a joke about niggas. He said nigga in his whole skit. Nobody was really upset with him. His audience laughed it off because he had a big black following. My thing is that certain genres are supposed to give the people a certain feeling. People expect that ruggedness from comedy. When you watch horror movies, like, people want to be scared. I see you, Monroe. But they don't want to be, like, petrified. When Freddy Krueger first became a real thing, he got death threats after the whole Freddy series. People were threatening to kill him because he scared the fuck out of them. They know it's horror, but they wasn't expecting that type of fear. So it's just, it's more so about the genre and then the pre-notion of that genre. I think that's what it is. Go ahead, Monroe.
So I can't remember the fuck I saw this, but one of the hip hop artists from the fucking 90s, I can't remember if it was Ice Cube or Snoop Dogg or who the fuck it was, but they asked him a question of, why do you think that rappers now rap about drugs and shit? Like, why has rap become this instead of what it used to be? And he said, rappers rap about what they know. They talk about what they're exposed to. And I feel like as far as artistic genres, it goes kind of to the same concept of what May is talking about, that it goes to the pre-existing notions of what we associate it with. So
that was Daddy Ice Cube.
She said Daddy Ice Cube. TVC's face though.
I'm not calling him that.
No.
But no, like, I definitely feel like it comes from a pre-existing notion of that. And like you said, like, you know, he was out here getting death threats and shit. I went to see Midsommar when it came out, and some of the scenes, like, people were not expecting that. So they literally got up and fucking walked out. Same with the, like, latest Joker movie that came out. It was so graphic to a point that it completely shocked people that they couldn't fucking handle it, got up and walked out. And honestly, it's pre-existing notions that kind of put everything into a box of sorts.
Well, answer that question then. Do you just think that we're in a really sensitive time? Like, people are becoming sensitive.
Yes and no. Yes.
Go ahead,
Reed,
I'll see your hand.
It's kind of what Deanna was just about to say. It's like a yes and no. It's like people pick and choose when they want to be sensitive. And then you have people who exploit both sides. So, like, you'll get, I don't know, like a news anchor who is going to appeal to the people who don't want it to be as raunchy. They're like, oh, this is a disgrace, you shouldn't be doing this, you have kids following you. But then you get somebody like a Dave Chappelle. You can't cancel Dave Chappelle because he doesn't care enough. So he's gonna say literally whatever he wants to say because he thinks it's funny and he knows somebody gonna laugh with it. And just like with white comedians saying nigga, like, Louis C.K. said nigga in his act all the time. Nobody had a problem with it. All of a sudden, he jerking off in front of white women. Now it's an issue. So it's like,
I mean, Carlos Mencia did too, though. He said the N-word.
So
when talking about Eminem.
It's like people want to pick and choose when it's okay. So there's never going to be a, okay, this is okay, this isn't. Because everybody's going to be like, oh, well, this offends me, but this doesn't. So you're never going to make everybody happy. That, which is why artists just kind of get into, like, the mindset of F it. I'm going to just do whatever I want to do anyway because I'm not going to please everybody. So there's no, I think, true happy medium. You just going, you got your fan base and you may get a couple more that trickle in. But for the most part, you're just going to appeal to the people who aren't offended by what you do.
Okay. Deanna, I'll saw your hand.
This goes back to, okay, so, if you guys follow battle rap in any way, you're familiar with a person named Arsenal.
That nigga disrespectful.
Exactly, right?
Jesus Arsenal Christ. Is
the king of disrespect.
Yes.
So he has a higher ceiling of what is acceptable than most battle rappers. His last battle, he put a video in the camera of the person he's battling's baby mother sucking somebody's dick in the camera. He said, ain't this your baby mama, and put it in the camera of that guy's baby mother sucking somebody else's dick. Normally, any other person do that, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to fight him. We got to fight, like, right then and there. But because it's Arsenal, everybody accepted it. Everybody was just like, whoa, man, Arsenal, he topped himself. He's more disrespectful. So certain things people do, even within the genre, certain genres have a higher ceiling of what's too far. But then within that genre, you have people who can go further than that. Everybody has their limitations within their genres of where you can go. In music, there are certain things you cannot make music about. Eminem said, fuck that, I'm gonna make music about whatever the hell I want. So he's one of those people within that genre that can go further. Mel Gibson, he's one of the people within movies. He made Passion of the Christ. I think that's about as far as you can go. It gets no higher than that. Let's be real. So everybody has their limitations, but it always gets narrowed down more and more to like this genre, this person. And it's still their fan base at the end of the day, what they're willing to accept.
Okay. Monroe, I saw you twiddling your finger.
Yes. So I was watching Alice in Wonderland yesterday. Leave me alone. And shut the fuck up, mate. Don't you roll your eyes at me.
This is going up.
So, no, there's a quote that the fucking caterpillar does. And when Alice says, this is impossible, and he says, nothing is impossible, only impassable. Which I feel definitely pertains to that. Like, there's certain levels to this shit, basically, per genre, per artist, per archetype. And while nothing is, quote-unquote, impossible, there are some certain aspects of it that are truly impossible, that it's just like, no, don't go there.
Got you. Go ahead, Rico.
Is that why y'all think child stars have such an issue, especially ones that come out singing or whatever? Because it's like, you start singing my little kitty stuff, little, you know, preschool stuff, and all of a sudden you hit puberty, you're an adult now, you're voting, you're doing this, so now you experiencing stuff, you experiencing having sex, you experiencing all of this type of stuff, and you want to sing about it, and people are like, nah. Like, that's why I think a lot of Disney stars and Nickelodeon stars can't necessarily get out of that mold, is because they let people put them on like a certain level. It's like, no, you're this clean cut person. It's like, bro, I was 12. And then I think that's why like people like Eminem suffered later on in their career, because some people just want to hear him rap. They like the way he puts words together. Some people want to hear content. It's like, bro, in their mind, they're like, bro, you have a, oh, you still rapping about this. Then he tries to switch it up and tries to speak for, you know, he tries to use his white privilege for good. And then people was like, bro, what are you doing? Shut up. And then now he's mad again. People are like, okay, you need to make up your mind. So it's like, he can't make everybody happy. He can't even make all of his fans happy. So it gets to a point where it's like a certain box that your audience has put you in. Like Deanu said, you can either say F that and try to escape it, or you can just function within that pocket. And it's I think it's tougher for when people start out really young or have been doing something for a really long time, because they've established that this is as far as they can go. And it's like, you'll be trying to catch up with yourself the rest of your life.
I think that is an issue. I think it's called typecasting.
Yes.
You get placed in an area, and then people always feel like you should be that person. Kind of like with Harry Potter. The actor who plays Harry Potter is forever going to be Harry Potter.
I ain't gonna lie, he is.
Exactly. So like, if he ever tries to go out and do something like more rigid, more rough, people will look at him.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He did a couple.
He's had success in other stuff. He's done pretty good. He's tried to do more funny stuff now, on top of like some serious acting. He's doing better than most typecasted people.
But you know what I think?
Yes.
Wait. You know, to go further on both of y'all point, this is what I think is a lot of people's problems. You realize if you look at every genre, those people that kind of go against the norm and take things too far and accept the controversy make it further. What rapper is more successful than Eminem? What comedian was more successful than Dave Chappelle was? He was at the height of his career, and he chose to step away because they were trying to bring him down. Like, no, you're taking it too far. Let's kind of bring it down a notch. And he refused to do that. He's like, no, fuck that. I'm gonna do what I want. Everybody, Mel Gibson is a household name. All those people who push the envelope and just want to go a little bit further, they go further in their career. However, because that's what they're known for. When somebody just tries to come out of the blue and like, you know what, tomorrow, I'm about to shake shit up. No, we don't know you for that. That's not the reputation you've built. You didn't come in with the reputation of like, you know what, I'm about to be real all the time. I'm not going to conform. I'm going to be as real as I can be. Those are the ones I think have more success.
Yes,
I see that look.
Let's make a clear like separation of people who lost or who may have struggled with their career because they took it to the next level, and then people who struggle with their career because they did something that's just totally fucked up. Mel Gibson's career flopped because he told his wife that he hoped that she gets raped by a pack of niggas. That's exactly why he went down. So
you know what? You know what?
Yes.
Exactly. I think everybody was mad at that. Except packs of niggas. We were mad about that one. We was like, you know what? How much you paying? We got volunteers. But that's the thing though. Like when he took it like artistically, let's put it that way, artistically take things to the next level. Not in your personal life, like Justin Bieber deciding like I'm gonna piss in a mop bucket. Like, dude, come on now, what are you doing? That's just random as shit. Why are you doing that? But artistically, when he stepped over and like, you know what, I'm going to do a song with DJ Khaled. That's okay. He can do that artistically going to a different level. But he just did a lot of personal shit. Like, why you leave the damn little monkey at the airport? I don't know.
I feel it all like that. About Jesus telling his wife.
Oh, shit.
I'm dead. All right.
Your wife, I hope you get in a cockold situation.
What you say?
How you tell your wife, I hope you get into a cockold situation.
Right. Like that's just, I feel like that's what really, I feel like there's artists who we can appreciate because they push the envelope. But like some of those same artists say some things off mic that's like, no, that's why your career died. Let's be honest. Like
who's had the most success breaking like typecast? They're more like I'm talking about consistent, not like when Marlon Wayans did that one like serious role and people's like, oh dang, he can do this forever, and he was like back to comedy. I'm talking about like somebody who, whether they was a child star that grew up and was able to break out of that, or somebody who was the funny guy and broke into something serious and was able to consistently do that. Like who have y'all noticed over the past who's like really like broken out, like all right, he can do or she can do whatever they want because they're just that good at it?
Robert Downey Jr.
I don't know none of his old stuff. I know him from Iron Man, and then I've seen other stuff he was in.
Yeah, he's the first person that was white that played a black dude in a movie, and we all accepted it. Perfect.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder. He's
the GOAT. He's the GOAT for that. But I got the perfect example to your question, and y'all going to be mad because y'all see this coming. Taylor Swift.
Get the fuck off my computer.
Taylor Swift.
For those of you that do not know, Taylor Swift is his dream wife.
Wasn't that your wife just sitting behind you?
Yeah, but she knows it too. She knows it too.
Okay.
She knows I have an obsession with Taylor Swift. All
right.
But she, okay, think about Taylor Swift. She came in as the new pretty little country star, and like, she conquered country. She was like top of the country, right? So everybody thought she was going to be that forever. Then out of nowhere, she's doing pop. Comes out with the Shake It Off and like all of these upbeat songs now, and still
and all of the talking about all her exes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she went from the country girl who talks about the sad songs, now she's making all of these upbeat like pop songs, and she's still that damn good. She's doing great with that now. Hell, she got songs with Kendrick Lamar. She's slowly transitioning to different forms of music appealing to different audiences. And she's still doing it at a high level.
I guess you can.
Yes, Miss Major.
You ain't playing no fucking Taylor Swift on this goddamn road trip. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead. Continue.
But like, Bad Blood is kind of good though. Not gonna lie.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
I guess. I guess if you're gonna say that, then I guess you could say Raven Simone. She came out as, you know, real young in the college.
I feel like all her stuff has been pretty uniform. Everything she's done, everything is family friendly. Think about what is one dark thing she's done while, like, I'm talking about as an actor or a singer.
Oh, you know what I was about to say.
Yeah, not all of this extra stuff. But from
other than, you know, other than fucking Brown, you know.
Yeah.
Lil Fizz and having a baby at a young age. That's where the baby came from.
Oh, that's nasty.
Wait, what?
Well, I ain't know that one. But yeah, I think Taylor Swift is like, she's the perfect model for that, for someone that broke the mold.
You know who would be for a female actress? Angela Bassett. She has done drama. She has done horror. Yes. She has done documentaries. Like, that woman's badass. She has.
Auntie is the GOAT.
Her.
Auntie is the GOAT.
First of all, that is the sexiest auntie I have ever seen. She's like 60, and yes. I'm like, I want your body. Like, how you get that? Okay, go ahead. Anyway.
You didn't see that tongue movement I just did, but whatever.
It's speculation. There you go. Let me put that on.
Huh?
That's so nasty. The fact
I think you went out to TBC. I didn't even hear you.
I said, I'm going to say that it's speculation that she had a kid with Lil Fizz. It's not confirmed.
That's still nasty.
For which one?
Both of them. I don't know. I guess when I say Raven Simone, I mean the longevity of her career.
I'll give you that.
Mm.
The longevity of her career, she started off at, what, 5 years old on The Cosby Show?
Four, whatever.
Yeah. She went from there to having her own show. I can't remember the name of right now. Was a rapper at a time.
There you go.
Also performed on many different talk shows. I think she had her own clothing line for a little bit of a time.
And she ran Disney for a good 10, 12 years.
Well, yeah, because then she left the public eye, she left us seeing her in public for a while until she did Raven. I hadn't seen her, and I remember this because I'm around her age, so I remember how it went in steps. But after she did the rapping thing and had her show, like, you didn't hear from her really that much until she started doing Cheetah Girls and That's So Raven. And she dropped off again, and then next thing you know, she's doing talk shows, and then she has Raven's House, whatever it's called.
It's Raven's
Home. It's Raven's Home, and then she does a lot of game shows, like Three Squares or Four Squares or whatever it's called.
Hip Hop Squares? What's the show on Hip Hop Squares too?
I think for a moment, she does this comedy thing where they ask questions and the comedian has to answer the question funny. And then it's just the whole thing. I saw it on late night television. Go ahead.
Well, I don't mean to cut this conversation off, but we are at an hour. That went by really quick. So, you guys, we're going to have to continue this on another pod. Appreciate y'all. I'm not editing no more than an hour.
I feel you.
Let's all say something to exit this out, and then we'll get together again and do a part two to this. I feel like we didn't touch on a lot of stuff.
There's always stuff to talk about.
That's what she said.
I would think that's what he would say, but okay, go ahead.
And there's always a lot of stuff to talk about that we're going to definitely touch on in the future podcasts more frequently. I look forward to seeing, you all hearing from me and Deano in our podcast coming up very, very soon.
Hearing from me on pop culture.
We didn't get to you yet. Just take your time.
Fuck.
He wasn't done speaking.
I'm still talking. I remember this green eyes. But yeah, no, and we're definitely having some co-stars, some co-hosts coming into the show, Rico, and a couple other people that shall not be named as of right now.
Oh my God.
But that's me, TBC.
Help us all, May J. Go ahead, somebody else.
Oh man, just looking forward to all the future endeavors we got planned and getting a good mix up of good content with everything we got going on, the different podcasts, touching on different subjects, and just bringing light to so many different things all at once. It's going to be great.
This has been a lot of fun per usual. I got a bunch of new stuff coming out, skits and stuff on my Instagram, _Rico_Suave1. I got music I'm working on, so I'm excited. I'll definitely be back on here a lot to plug new stuff here and there, so be on the lookout. Talk to y'all soon.
Monroe, you want to, get your shit out there? Got me saying my own fucking name, yelling at you. Go ahead.
Oh, you know what else is new. No, yeah, we're definitely going to have a bunch of new shit coming out for y'all. I'm sorry if we curse too much. I'm not really fucking sorry. You already know what it is. This is why we're rated R. May already blame me, the previous podcast. She also says she loves me, so I'm still riding that fucking train right now. TBC just staring at her. Hella funny right now. I live for this shit.
What a god.
But no, yeah, catch us. Men's Corner, the radio culture, pop culture. We're going to bring you a bunch of new information, a bunch of shit you don't know, a bunch of shit you probably already fucking heard of, but you're going to fucking hear it again. So, love y'all.
And you'll hear me on Let's Talk About It. It'll be a little less drama and more calm. And I promise you I'll never tell Monroe I love her again. Y'all have a good
That's
night.
Fucked up.
Don't burn down the house, TBC.
Hell yeah. Last time, the alarm was going pew, 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 pew.
It was the stakes. It was them stakes.
Exactly. And they were good as fuck. It was just I had to have that shit up high. It was great.
All right, guys. You have a good night. We'll talk to y'all later. We are out.
In a world built on art and unorthodox ideas, some run from their destiny. We've decided to embrace who we are. We are artists. We are the color that paints a black and white universe. We make the day-to-day unique, fun, and well, we fill it with life. At LLP Media, we work to bring art and expose local artists to those who want to hear our voice. Being a part of LLP Media means working with a team to create exceptional showcases and events for our community. Don't be afraid to share your passion. Come perform with LLP Media.